This is The Naked Scientist with Chris and Helen. So what will the LHC mean for physicists? Well, Dr. Tara Shears is from the University of Liverpool and she works on the LHC B detector. She's actually looking for antimatter. So Tara, thank you very much for joining us on The Naked Scientist. Tell us a bit about your work.
So my experiment, LHCB, was designed to look into the question of why, when we think the universe started in an equal mixture of matter and antimatter, why there only seems to be one type, matter, around today. And we think this inequality arose sometime very early in the universe's history, sometime in the first minute even. But we don't know why it should be. We don't know why that happened. We think it's due to some difference in the behaviour of matter and antimatter, but we're not quite sure what.
So what you're saying is there's basically two types of stuff. There's matter and antimatter. This will be like the north and south pole of a magnet. And what we see in the universe at the moment is all the north poles, begging the question, where have all the south poles gone?
That's exactly right. Antimatter's really, in a sense, like the mirror reflection of ordinary matter. And we can find out whether it's present anywhere, because one particular peculiarity that antimatter has is that whenever it meets normal matter, it annihilates. It's quite dramatic. If you have a gram of matter meeting a gram of antimatter, you get an explosion equivalent to about 5 kilotons of TNT.
So you can actually make antimatter?
You can generate antimatter at CERN in very, very small amounts. And what happens at the LHC is that when we have the beam collisions, the proton-proton collisions, and as Ben's already told you, some of the we convert the energy of those beams into new particles, some of those new particles will be antimatter particles.
So they're made of basically the same building blocks as matter particles then?
That's right. So to give you an example, for every quark, we have an antimatter quark equivalent. And for something like the electron, there's an antimatter equivalent that we call a positron. So every particle that we know about in the universe also has its antimatter equivalent.
So how can you turn matter into antimatter, though?
Well, what happens in the LHC is, in the collision, we either generate matter in the form of matter or antimatter, if that makes sense. It comes in one variety or the other. And what we detect in our experiments is maybe the decay products of those particles, if they don't live for very long. And by looking at what those particles decay to and identifying them, we can infer whether we had a fundamental particle in the first place that was matter or antimatter.
Because you're starting with a beam of protons. So these are matter protons, though, aren't they? So if you can make antimatter using those, does that argue that they're made of the same thing as antimatter?
No, not at all. Because you've got to think that when we have this beam collision, we have a certain amount of energy. So whatever collides in those protons, and like Ben said, it's like swishing two wet rags together or two squidgy oranges, you know, only part of the proton collides with each other. That converts to pure energy, and then via Einstein's equation, to mass, to particles. And antimatter particles have the same mass as normal particles. So in that respect, these collisions, it doesn't really matter what's colliding together. You have this annihilation of energy, and then that energy can be distributed into different particles. It doesn't matter whether they're matter or antimatter.
And then presumably this will give us insights into the nature of antimatter, so we can understand perhaps how to use it.
Well, that's what we're hoping with the LHCB experiment. We're hoping to get a better handle on the behaviour of antimatter as opposed to ordinary matter, because we think there must have been some difference to give rise to this asymmetry, which has allowed our universe to only exist in the one state today.
So where do you think all the antimatter has gone in the universe? Is it just all jostled somewhere, or is it in some other, I don't know, dimension that we can't see?
Oh, that's a $100 million question, isn't it? I wish I knew the answer to that. So we don't know, basically. That's why we've built the experiment. That's why we're doing our research. We don't know if, for example, there's some peculiarity in the behaviour of antimatter, which means that it decays more quickly than normal matter. And so that's why it all seemed to die out more quickly, if you liked, in the early universe. But there are theories around, theories that I don't even pretend to understand, which say, well, we could have antimatter in alternative parallel universes to our own. That's where it all went. And we just happen to be in a parallel universe where there's only matter. So there are many hypotheses, if you like, but little experimental evidence to really pin down the explanation.
Well, hopefully you'll get some answers pretty soon. Tara, thank you very much for joining us on The Naked Scientist.
Pleasure.
That's Tara Shears from the University of Liverpool.